All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's Tuesday on The Usual Suspects, and we are bringing the dirt. I did my homework.
Look at this.
And I hope you did your homework, too.
I've never seen him more excited.
I enjoyed Netflix.
I can't believe you did something pop culture related. My baby bird is leaving the nest.
Yes.
I'm so proud of you.
Yes. I enjoyed the hell out of it. And here's the thing. You sent the text last night. Well, yep. Because Taylor's
like
out of town.
Like at 11 o'clock at night.
I don't know if it was that late.
Look.
Well, I'm exaggerating.
Young Buck, don't.
Oh, is that what you're doing now? You're picking up on the fact that you exaggerate when you do.
A little bit.
Funny stuff? Okay. Take it from the comedian.
But that was a fantastic documentary.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
and
I'm glad you guys watched it.
So you were texting to remind us to do our homework.
Yes.
I played hoops last night because Taylor, that was the last night before Taylor comes back tonight. So I took advantage of the time and played basketball. So I'm driving back, and then you text, and I had to write an article too, and I'm like, there's no way. And then Lisa went to bed, and I was like, I need the password for our Netflix. So I was like, man, tomorrow morning, I'm going to pull this off, but it's...
Was it Aaron? I love Aaron Rodgers?
No. Oh. She picked the password.
Oh,
not me.
Okay.
And then she didn't...
I hate Joel Blank.
She's at work, and she texts me. No, that's the Game of Thrones stuff. And she texts me, and then she has to give me, like, a breakdown of why she picked the password. I don't want to know what your numbers mean. I don't care. Just give me the password. So I watched
David Hasselhoff's abs. Yeah, like, why is that the password, babe?
Yeah, don't
it's
need
an
any
at
of that.
Symbol
yeah.
in abs, not an A. Like, why is that an option, boo?
Yeah, and then I always rile her up, because, like, every foster dog that's a male we get, she somehow goes, Bo. I go, were you a Days of Our Lives fan, or is that just a dude,
right.
a name that's just... She's like, no.
Duke's a hazard.
I was like, possibly. Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know. So I watched the whole thing this morning.
Okay.
I will watch it again.
Are you going to watch it again?
Josh in our...
That big of a fan, huh?
Josh watched it 3 times already. And,
oh, now, see, I'm not doing all that.
I may watch it again, but it was fantastic. I was a huge Motley Crue fan
okay.
growing up, and I thought it was done well. The fact that the band was behind it, was fantastic.
Now,
I enjoyed all of it.
I take it you haven't seen Bohemian Rhapsody.
I have not.
With Queen. Are you a Queen fan?
I like the music.
Okay. I would suggest watch that as well.
I want to. Yep.
And then judge for yourself which one you like more.
Right.
I have a feeling it's going to be the dirt because huge Motley Crue fan you
yep.
are. So, but yeah, I thought you would like it because I knew you liked Motley Crue. I didn't realize
yeah.
how big of a fan you were, but I knew
yeah.
you would like it. Nicholas, you said you watched it and fell asleep.
How do you do that?
Well, I didn't start watching it until about 11 o'clock at night.
With all the Nikotitas in
yeah,
it, and you just fell asleep.
But wait a minute. Your return text to Barry was, I got time. I'll watch it.
Yeah, that was before I decided
Actually,
to
he
go
asked,
out.
Did they show Tommy Lee's penis?
Right.
I said, yes. He goes, I'm in.
Yeah, I was all over.
No, I'm just kidding.
All over.
But how the hell do you fall asleep during that show? That was like, that's a high-quality movie
it's
in
it's
right
so,
there.
It's so funny because I was watching it with a buddy of mine, and she was like, she's like 22, and you know how you guys give me crap about what I don't know? So
yeah.
I asked her, like, do you know who Motley Crue is? She like yelled at me. She's like, I didn't live under a rock my whole life, man. I was like,
see?
My bad. I didn't know.
I mean, 22, that's she's
the girl
cultured.
With her class right there.
Yeah. I was like, really?
She's cultured.
Yeah. So she was into it, too. I think I'm the one who fell asleep.
Okay, what was your favorite part of it?
Man, I don't know. Favorite part?
Yeah.
The thing was, I already knew it was coming in the pool scene because you had told us about that.
Right.
Yeah.
I paid attention through that. I was like, this is the part Barry was talking about.
Yeah.
I'm totally watching this
yeah.
part. And that was disgusting.
And that's crazy, right?
That was yellow Gatorade for sure.
Yeah, well, no kidding. It's not real pee yeah. that they're licking off the concrete.
But I felt like they could have done
Thanks,
a better
Spielberg,
job.
Spielberg for breaking it down.
I feel like they could have done a better job.
Movie making.
Well, what'd you want? Like steam coming off the concrete?
Yeah.
No, but I will agree with you that Ozzy Osbourne, I didn't like. He just didn't look like Ozzy to me.
No.
I didn't
he
like
didn't
that.
He didn't look like Ozzy at
kind
all.
Of.
He
Vince
sounded
Neil
like
Neil yeah. looked nothing like Vince Neil. He looked like Barbara Streisand
okay.
playing Vince Neil.
But let's
it
be honest with this.
I wasn't buying it at all.
Because you brought it up, so I was paying attention to that as well. Because
okay.
I really do think they nailed Mick Mars and they nailed
the
Nikki Sixx.
Yes.
And Tommy Lee was actually pretty good, too.
Tommy Lee wasn't bad. You know who that is, by the way, right?
Machine Gun Kelly.
Isn't that wild? I had no idea that that was Machine
you
Gun Kelly
until
somebody pointed
you
it out.
You told me, and then when I watched it, I was like, I still didn't remember. And then I looked at him again. I was like, oh, my God. He did pretty good.
Yeah, I would have never guessed that. I was surprised about that. So your thoughts on Vince Neil or the character?
And I really was waiting for the closing credits and stuff, too, to kind of do the comparisons you were talking about. And when I looked at it, look, Vince Neil was never cut up. Vince Neil was never, like, he was like a skinny fat. He was always,
yep.
I think they did him too much service by giving him a guy that was actually kind of ripped up and in shape. But I think, because, you know, because Vince, when he got older, he didn't do the skinny fat. He just did the fat.
Right.
He blew up for a while.
Yes.
And face-wise.
Kind of like Axl Rose.
Yeah.
He blew up too.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I can see your point that
face-wise,
facially,
it wasn't close.
Yeah.
No.
I agree with that.
But I thought they did good on the other ones. But when they showed him, I was like, what? This is who Vince Neil's going to be? I'll be honest. You're not recording this. Don't you save this. I will kick your ass in the hallway if you do, Nick. But the dude that played Vince Neil wasn't pretty enough. Vince Neil was a pretty man. And I'm not saying that in a positive way. That was a pretty dude. Like, in fact, and I told you this yesterday, but Fred said that after Aerosmith hung out with Motley Crue and Vince Neil, they wrote Dude Looks Like a Lady. That guy that played him looked nothing like a lady.
And the thing is, when they went to their whole look with the makeup and everything, that's what made Vince even more the pretty boy thing.
Yeah.
Because he actually looked female. I mean, I remember the album cover, I think, for Poison was all four of them, and each of them had their makeup, too. I was like, none of those four guys look like a girl like Vince Neil does.
Yeah, he was a pretty dude.
But I love getting the backstory of how they put the band together.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, that was really interesting when you think about one of the greatest hair metal or metal bands of all time.
Yep.
Was just because Nikki Sixx's family. Like, if you think about that, if he has a good mom and dad, there's no Motley Crue.
It's pretty much true.
Think about that.
Yeah.
If his parents are responsible adults and take care of their kid,
he probably would not be that personality.
No,
there's no Motley Crue. If his parents are Tommy Lee's parents, it doesn't happen.
No.
That's a good point.
By the way, now do you see what I was saying about girlfriends? And you're lucky you were
lucky I was next to her by her side when we went
backstage.
Your girl
totally banged Motley Crue.
Yeah. Because then when they showed the Nasty Habits, I was like, yeah, I would have. But then I would have paid the price because she'd have been in some dressing room.
See,
and
you thought I was just messing with you about that.
Yeah.
No, that was actually, they said.
You know who else?
Like several people, their managers, people were like, yeah, you don't leave. If it doesn't matter who it is, your wife, and it doesn't matter who you are, if you're famous or not, you leave your girl with Motley Crue, it's over.
The Elektra Records guy who admitted later on, and it hurt when I found out that they were doing my girlfriend. But here's the thing. Pete Davidson, fantastic job.
I thought he did pretty well.
Did a really good job.
Playing a weird guy.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, one of my favorite scenes was the first time you find out when they're sitting at that table at the restaurant that there's a chick under the table.
Yeah.
It was really funny because he sits down and he freaks out. He's like, what? And they're like, I don't know if I can trust a dude that won't accept that from a chick for no reason.
Right.
I thought that was funny.
So I don't know.
I just wonder if that's real. I wonder if that's true. Are you that big of rock stars that there's a chick under there that's under the table just doing that?
I think that happens.
Like, really?
Especially back in that era.
What kind of, how low of self-esteem do you have to have as a woman to do that?
Yeah,
that's
awful. You got to be one hell of a groupie.
Like, look, like I love Bananarama, but I'm not getting under the table.
Well, maybe that's what they called it.
Bananarama.
She's going down to do a little Bananarama under the table.
I'm not getting under the table for Bananarama or Wilson Phillips or none of that. And I like their music. It's just not happening. In Vogue, no, I might.
What was your favorite part?
I might be the groupie.
What was your favorite part?
Under the table for In Vogue. Probably the Ozzy thing. Just because it was disgusting and awful, but it was so shocking. I wasn't expecting that.
Agreed.
I thought that was pretty good. I also kind of liked when they were rehearsing when they first got started.
Yeah.
Now the awkwardness of all that.
The way they got rid of the first guitar player too was fantastic.
Really good.
And Mick Mars being who Mick Mars was, which is short to the point, crotchety.
Yeah.
But boy, when he got a guitar on, he was doing his thing.
Yeah.
And the thing that I like though is I've seen them in concert probably 10 times.
Okay.
And if you haven't seen Motley Crue in concert, the one thing that was always amazing as they kind of got bigger as a band was Tommy Lee's drum set did some flipping amazing things.
Yeah.
The first one, it was like on an Erector Set train track like at or a roller coaster at Six Flags, and it would go around the perimeter of the arena and it would do some things. Then the next time it would the next tour, it would actually do the flips and the things he was talking about. But yet the fact that he, you could say all you want about what he was or wasn't and who he was as a drummer, the fact that he can concentrate while his drum set is doing 360s and all that. It's amazing what he can do with drumsticks.
And he's a badass drummer to begin with.
Yes.
But to be able to do that while you're flipping in the air and all that. What was your favorite part of it, Nick?
I would say that pool scene was just, I was in shock for about 10 minutes.
And I
after
warned
that.
You, and you were still like,
I was
what?
Like, what in the world? I mean, plus all the heroin situation when he OD'd.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I don't really know the history. Like, did he die here? Did he not? And then I thought that was just telling because when you have that much money, and you can throw it away.
Yeah.
I know my personality, dude.
$1,000
a day? Just
day?
Like that and worse.
You'd be hooked on heroin?
Hell yeah, if I was a rock star.
Oh my God, you're going to be a crackhead, Nick. No. I'm going to have to hold you down forever. No way you can have my
job.
It's
probably a
you
good
thing. You can't be getting this money.
$1,000 a day on heroin?
You'd be out there S&D for crack, bro. I can't have that. I value you too much as a friend.
What would you do?
You'd be under the table.
We get this Sirius XM deal done for us, and we're going to go big time, and Barry and I are going to come in one day and check the broom closet, and there you're going
to
be going.
You're trying to tell me you've got all these drugs readily available to you, have all the money in the world. Every girl on the planet is throwing themselves at you.
I'm not doing smack. I'm not doing heroin.
I don't know, man. I'm crazy like that.
Knowing what I know about heroin and crack, no, I'm not doing that kind of stuff.
I bet you, I bet you if you're in that era.
I get high a lot, but I'm not doing any of that other stuff. No way.
The biopic alone should tell you that if you could stay away from distractions like that and just ride it out for as long as you can, you can be set for a lot of lifetimes.
Yeah, because $1,000 a day on heroin, that's $7,000 a week. That's $28,000 a month back then.
Yeah.
Where they were not making, I mean, they were still making great money, obviously, but not to the extent like that. That just didn't, I could not believe.
Call me crazy. It's about $365,000 a year.
That's insane.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot.
By the way, I just wanted to see because you know how much money they've wasted, right? Like, I mean, how much money they just spent on, because you, when you see them like tearing up hotel rooms, that comes out of their money.
Yep.
They're not, the record label is not paying for that. It's coming out of their royalties and stuff like that.
I would have totally tore up that hotel room. Are you kidding
me? But they wasted so much money. So I just Googled Nikki Sixx net worth. Guess.
Now?
Yeah. Guess.
Because it was a very, very smart move that they got their music back.
Yeah. $5 million.
But.
Okay. $5 million.
I'm guessing. I literally
15.
Feel it.
$45 million.
Good for him.
How they managed with this? Imagine what it would be worth if you didn't spend $365,000 a year on heroin.
But you know what I would like to see? I'd like to see what the net worth was before he got the rights to their music
That's
back.
That's true.
Because there's a reason why when they got the band back together at the end of the pick that they said that they played another 20 years. They played another 20 years, and if you go back and check, they released like two or three greatest hits albums just so that they could try and recoup. Because they lost a ton when you do a 5-album deal with Elektra Records.
Yeah.
The majority of that's going to the record label.
Yeah.
So they did what they had to do to recoup
smart.
A lot of money, but they did it well, man, because that music, you can't sleep on Motley Crue for just musical talent, voice talent.
I forgot how great it was. I love, too, like, I was telling my wife, I used to be scared of Motley Crue.
Why?
Because, like, Shout at the Devil the pentagrams, and I was like, oh, my God, they're so evil. And then, like, I like the part where they were like, we didn't say shout with the devil.
It was shout at
the devil. I was like, oh, yeah, duh. I get that now.
I'm but with you because I felt a little guilty listening to
like,
that song.
Why am I scared of these dudes with long hair and high heel boots on? Why would I have been scared? How evil could you be dressed up like, I don't know, like a pimp-ass Rick James or something? Like, that didn't make sense to be scared of them. But let's do this real quick. We'll do it after the break.
I don't mind talking about this for another day. It was fantastic.
Let's guess the net worth. No cheating, you two.
No. Nope.
Guess the net worth of the other three members of the band.
And by the way, Tommy Lee, of all people, the drummer, wrote this song on the piano.
They showed him at the piano.
He wrote it at the piano, and then Vince put the lyrics to it. And the other thing was that Nikki was the one that did most of the lyrics for most of the songs, which you wouldn't have thought either.
Nope.
But it absolutely a fantastic. It was called The Dirt.
The Dirt.
Yeah, check it out on Netflix. So we're going to be back to talk about that and a whole lot more. Oh, and by the way, Coach Kelvin Sampson. No, Charlie didn't get him. No. Coach Kelvin Sampson's doing our show because that's my boy.
Suck it, Charlie.
2 o'clock. Your chance tomorrow. But today, Kelvin Sampson, 2 p.m. right here. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town, again? I hope you were up early enough to catch the first segment, because I'm telling you, The Dirt, The Motley Crue, Netflix special, off the chain. Barry gave us homework. I did mine. Nick did his. Worth every minute of it.
Now, does this mean from now on you're going to participate in pop culture
events?
He was just saying that in the commercial break when you were out. Yeah.
Okay, this is good. This is a good thing for us.
And I told Lisa, too, because the other day she was at the kitchen table. I said, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, I'm canceling. There's that commercial on where that guy decides to like cut out all the stuff he's not using.
Right.
And he cut out his music and Netflix account. I was like, whoa, don't do that.
Yeah,
and then
don't do that.
I called her this morning when she was on air in a commercial break. I go, babe, you really didn't cancel the Netflix yet, did you? And she goes, well, I think I did, but I think we still have plenty of time left. I said, look, just give me the password and everything, because I got to do something with it first. And then I was like, no, we're going to keep this. I'm in on that.
There's some good shows out there, man. Even just like, you don't even have to watch series. There's just good documentaries, and now, there's a lot of good stuff.
Josh Jordan, who does a lot of great stuff for us on Sports
Josh
Map.
Josh is fantastic.
And does all the stuff for our videos for Sports Map as well. He was big into the documentary. He said he's watched it 3 times. He also said, if you're into the documentary, the book that Nikki Sixx wrote.
I'm out on reading.
Was absolutely in more detail every bit of what was going on. But here's the thing.
Actually, I think I may have read the book.
He's gonna let me borrow it because I definitely want to read it. But the thing that he said, which was very interesting to me, was 2 things. One, Doc was not fired because he brought Nikki's mom to the hotel.
Okay.
That was not true in real life. And the second thing, which I found really interesting, was there is now a music term used between record labels and entertainers and artists, if you're Nikki Sixx, evidently to get the deal done that he got done, which made them all this money by getting the rights to their songs back, Nikki Sixx would call the execs at Elektra Records like hundreds of times a day.
Wow.
And constantly, every single day until he got it done. And so in the record industry, if you're Nikki Sixx, that means you're calling way too much trying to get something done.
Wow, I didn't realize that. As far as the book goes, I joked about not reading it. But I remember reading a book, and this I know this doesn't narrow it down, but I want to say it was his. Okay. But I remember reading a book about a rock star that was on heroin and spent a lot of time in his closet doing heroin and freaking out. And when I saw that scene in the movie, I thought, is that the book I read? Because this was a long time ago, and I'm not a reader. And, of course, my memory's awful, so I couldn't remember exactly what it was. But I thought, I wonder if that's the book that I read about whoever. But that's the kind of things that they don't expand on, which I really thought they could have spent more time on. And I did see somebody say that The Dirt should not have been a hour and 50-minute biopic. That could have been a series.
Like, no
doubt. This could have been a 5-season
like
series
Dr. Dre
where
and,
you go through not even that.
But
almost
saying,
like you tell the story of Motley Crue, but as a show. As a like 1-hour episodes, 13 episodes, but 5 seasons.
Yeah.
You could really expand on it
on
a lot.
On the short end, the Dre and Tommy, what's his name? That documentary on HBO.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about.
But
that it was like five, I think there were 5 episodes. Or the R. Kelly thing. There was at least 5 episodes of that. So, yeah, you could have done it that way. But here's the other thing, and this will fire you up a little bit. The rumor is there might be a round 2.
Oh, that would be
because
good.
Of the fact that everybody said, well, what happened to Tommy Lee with Pamela Anderson?
Right.
And that some of that stuff that came out later, you know, Vince got remarried and all the different things that. And let's be honest, Nick, there's hope no matter where it springs eternal, because you look at those guys in that band after their initial hair metal days. All of them ended up with a Playboy Playmate or better.
By the way, yeah, that's...
See, Mick Mars and Donna DeJerico, who not only was a Playmate, but was on Baywatch.
It helps to be a rock star.
Absolutely.
It really helps to be a rock star.
Yeah, if girls were doing Bananarama under tables at clubs just because they were groupies,
I don't know. Like that you've taken Bananarama and turned them into an oral sex act.
Basically what it... No. Gets down to was when the guy sits down, he Bananarama's.
But here's the weird thing is you think about guys like, who was it that they show? I think they even talked about He had in the Queen in Bohemian Rhapsody, Freddie Mercury got AIDS, passed away. You look at these four guys and you think about how much sex they had. How are all of them not dead from several different venereal diseases and AIDS? And that was the height of the era, and that was when it had started to move out of just the homosexual community into the heterosexual community. And it's just like, how are you not? How's your penis not falling off?
With
as many people, and I'm sure most of it was unprotected sex. I would be willing. Who's? I mean, if you're Motley Crue and you're out here shooting heroin and sniffing ants and drinking pee, you're not having.
I don't even remember when
sex.
The first condom was manifest. Was Trojans even around back then?
Were they? Condoms have been around a long time.
Really?
Because that's the thing. When they were laughing about it, and he's like, "Dude, on this tour, how many girls do you think that you've been with?" He's like, "3." He's like, not today.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, okay. And they started laughing about it. Because in every stop, they're just females throwing themselves at you.
Yeah.
And obviously Vince wasn't throwing them back.
No, none of them were. Okay, let's get to this real quick because we teased it going to the break before we have to do the second break. So we talked about net worth. I told you that Nikki Sixx's net worth was $45 million. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's do the other three members. How much do you think Mick Mars's net worth is?
35.
Okay.
I was going to say 30.
40.
Okay.
Mick Mars worth 40. How much do you think Tommy Lee's net worth is?
I'm going to go 50.
Okay.
I'll say 35.
70.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess he did a lot of outside things.
He had some stuff on TV that he did outside of that.
He did Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, and that helped. And then Vince Neil?
Didn't he have a couple solo albums and he toured by himself
well
for a while?
Did.
I'd say same thing as Nikki, about 45.
Okay.
I'll say 50.
Yep, 50.
That's got one, right?
It's hard to believe though that those four guys, when you consider that what this band had to do from a sales perspective, and then the fact that they split it four ways after cost, after everything else, and they're all still worth at least $40 million.
But you know why?
That's crazy, because they own it.
Yeah, if they didn't own their own music and were able to like put those greatest hit CDs and then go on tour for 20 straight. I think they probably wanted to quit 10 years into it.
Probably.
But they did 20 so that they could rebuild all the stuff they lost.
Yeah, and also just because it was on the page, Janine Lindenmulder.
Lindenmuller.
No, Mulder. Lindemulder. I know the difference between syringe and syringe.
Whatever. Get me started. The text line's already being mean to me talking about Nick only thinks it's 28 days in a month. No, dummy, I'm aware. I was just giving you a rough estimate about how much money he was spending in a month. Okay. I'm aware there's more than 28 days in a month.
Did you Google when a condom was invented?
I should have.
Yeah, you should have. You do that, and I'm going to read this. Janine Lindenmulder,
yes,
who apparently was really hot back in the day.
Indeed.
Porn star.
Yes.
Exotic dancer.
Yes.
Stripper. Nude glamour model. Okay.
But,
we covered that already.
Very pretty.
Porn star.
Pretty porn star.
Net worth, $50,000. What?
Ouch.
I haven't had to dance naked for anybody, and I think I'm worth more than $50,000.
Gosh, that's terrible. She was, like, top of the whole pie chart for a while. Then she went crazy. She tattooed her whole... She went nuts on tattoos.
You know, what's funny is because it says she co-starred with Jenna Jameson in 2007's Janine Loves Jenna and won 2 adult video awards. Her homemade sex tape with Vince Neil of Motley Crue and Brandy Ledford leaked and was soon released. Well, now I got to Google that.
That's
something that has to be seen.
She's the album cover. See if it says it on there. They used her in a naughty nurse outfit for the album cover for, it wasn't Green Day. I'm trying to remember what it was. But yeah, she kind of reinvented her whole image by being the album cover.
She's 50 now.
Yeah.
That would suck. You live a life of porn and exotic dancing, and you find yourself at 50 years old worth $50,000.
That's sad.
And your moneymaker is going south. Like, it's literally everything starting to sag and get old, as we all do.
Blink-182.
That sucks.
She was the cover and in the video for Blink-182.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Google says 1855.
Well, you only missed it by
50 years, 60 years.
1855. Oh,
100 years. 100 years.
Crue, yeah.
50 years on 1855?
And Motley Crue was around in the late 80s?
I really didn't think. So it was around, but people just weren't using it.
No, I think they've been using them for a while.
No, they were not using it in that era, believe me.
50 years? Yeah.
They weren't using it, believe me. The majority of the population was not, believe me.
Using condoms?
No.
Yeah.
That's 100%, bro. Okay. There's no way more.
This is her now.
The most, yeah. Most of, now, yeah, it's different. Now,
what does that say? Fear not?
Yeah. Fear your checking account.
Yeah. She looks rough.
Yeah, she did not age well.
No.
Let's put it that way. All right, just getting started. Again, half hour into the show, 2 o'clock, Kelvin Sampson getting ready for the Sweet 16. That should be great. So should the rest of the show. So thanks for joining us. If you want to reach out, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and of course, at The Producer Nick. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Half hour into The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday. Yes, we know tomorrow's Way Back Wednesday. No, we don't have a theme or topic. That may or may not happen before tomorrow at 1 o'clock, but we'll let you know if we come up with something. And we already know everybody wants to do hair bands in honor of the biopic The Dirt.
See, is it biopic or biopic?
I thought it was a biopic.
Okay. That probably is right. I vote hair metal bands.
I'm fine with it.
I think that's a good option since we're talking about The Dirt, yep. And Motley Crue. And there was a ode to Rat in there where you saw the marquee and it had Motley Crue and Rat. And Ozzy was in it. And Van Halen. And we can count all that included in the hair metal.
Neither one of you penises start getting technical on what's a hair band versus what's not.
Yeah, either. Van Halen, if they were in the movie for The Dirt, for sure they get included.
Scorpions.
Yeah.
Rat.
Was it Wasp?
No, I don't think so. Maybe there was.
Wasp, a hair metal, but they were like.
They weren't the religious one.
They were like
one.
Christian rock.
Striper was the religious one, I think. But I always thought it was funny because when they came back on tour and at the Woodlands, it was like Rat Poison. It was Rat Poison.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was like Rat Poison and White Snake or something like that. And it's like, see, it just sounded like it was a really venomous snake. Rat Poison, White Snake.
Why was there never a Wasp, Rat, and White Snake tour? Like, they could have called it like the
Three Evils.
Or the Noah. The Ark
They're
tour.
Not going two by two.
The Ark tour. Just have nothing but animal bands. Oh, the animals, the monkeys. See, you can just do a whole Noah's Ark.
There's a combo platter for you.
There's
three
a way
hair
back
bands
Wednesday.
And the monkeys.
There's a Way Back Wednesday. All animal-based bands.
Yeah.
Put that in the vault for later,
save
Nick.
Save that one, Nick.
You're welcome. He's not even.
He's not.
He's over there Googling porn with Linda Mulder.
I mean, he's still amazed that it was more than 50 years
Which,
ago
by
that
the
condom was invented.
By the way, I looked up the porn with Vince Neil and showed
Janine.
It. And Janine.
Told
she
you.
Had her fastball back in the day.
I told you, man. Before she went nuts on tattoos and other things, she was the hottest thing going in porn.
Yeah. And somebody texted and said, I have a big smile on my face every time I hear Engine Number 9 to start off the
we
show.
We appreciate you.
Yeah, we do indeed.
So we're going to talk cougars in porn and otherwise.
Yes.
And we're going to turn it into talking cougars at 2 o'clock as Kelvin Sampson's going to join us. He's got a film session at 2:30, so he's gracious enough to join us at 2, and we'll get into the Sweet 16, the matchup with Kentucky, and a bunch of other things. Always great to catch up with Coach and what a fabulous job he's done over there down on Cullen Boulevard.
Did you watch any sports ball last night?
I really didn't.
No?
No, I really didn't. As a matter of fact, I did catch SportsCenter at the end of the night, and it was weird because I normally watch the Sports Center at like 6:30. I start watching it then when I'm waking up to see what I missed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, that game happened yesterday because I actually watched Sports Center last night, which I never really? Do. And I saw everything that happened. The one thing that I did see that I didn't want to see that I hope I never see again is the highlights of the Blazers and the big fella Nurkic.
I was watching that game and then decided that I needed to hurry up and get my MLB preview done. So I actually turned it off and just worked on my laptop.
You're lucky.
Yeah, I didn't make it to the first overtime, much less the second. But I heard that it was gruesome.
It was.
And I didn't want to look at it.
It was
just
Joe
read
Theismann
about it.
Meets was Sean it? Livingston.
I heard Paul George.
Paul George.
Hayward.
Damon Lillard commented after the game that he was there with USA Basketball when Paul George snapped his leg. This was a multiple compound fracture, I believe. So it was essentially the same thing. They're all hoping that, much like Paul George, when it does heal, he will be back to his old self again. But boy, oh boy, if you haven't seen it, and if you're squeamish at all, don't look at it.
I'm glad I didn't watch it because I don't like seeing stuff like that. It's nauseating.
It was nasty. And it also was going to have a huge... Now, by the way, he had a career high going before he got hurt in the second overtime. So when you look at the Blazers and bad luck, they've been without McCollum for over a week. They're supposed to get him back later this week. But now you lose Nurkic. There's just... And they went from a formidable opponent and a possible top four seed to a one and done.
Well, they clinched the four seed, right?
I don't know that they clinched the four seed.
They just clinched a playoff spot.
I think they clinched a playoff spot, but I think now they're one and done. I don't see that team, even with that backcourt, without a big man presence. Now, it was a great pickup.
Good thing, I was going to say, good thing they went out and got Enes Kanter.
Yep. You know
that
doubt about
help,
it.
But he's not going to replace Nurkic.
He doesn't pass like Nurkic, and he doesn't play defense like
Nurkic. You saw him shoot his second three of the game?
Yeah.
I saw him shoot the first one and make it, and I was like, oh, look at Enes Kanter. Okay. And then he comes back down, and he's wide open. I don't know if you saw this or not. But he is wide open, and the fans are like, shoot it. He's behind the three-point line and well behind it.
Yeah.
Typical Harden, Eric Gordon range. He's several feet behind the three-point line. And the fans are like, shoot it, shoot it. And he, like, looks around, and no one is going to guard him at all. Everyone's like, yeah, you want to shoot that, bro, shoot it. So he takes a dribble step in to the line and damn near shattered the glass with the brick he threw up. It was... I was just like, oh, God, Enes
this
Kanter
is what they
never
created with
again.
The Manimal. When the Manimal made his first three with the Rockets, it was like, you can get all the encouragement in the world, but basically what it's going to come down to is, in Portland, if that happens again, you're going to look at when Taco Fall was letting Jones of Duke just have 18 feet of space going, I dare you,
that's
and
exactly
he kept shooting
what they
it.
Did to him.
Because, yeah, there's certain guys that just aren't made. You're not Brooke Lopez making threes for Milwaukee.
No.
From like, because I saw Brooke Lopez, and you'll see him tonight play the Rockets. Mm-hmm. The other night, he pulled up between the three-point line and midcourt, and he's so big that he really doesn't have to jump.
Yeah.
He drained it.
Wow.
He can shoot
that's
it a little
good weapon.
Bit. He's a big man that's going to bring Capella away from the basket.
Now, do you think with losing Nurkic and, you know, having C.J. McCollum out, he's going to have to get in game shape. That's going to cost him a couple more games. Is that the nail in the coffin that seals the deal for the Rockets on the three seed? Is it over?
I think so. I really
do. Is it over? There's no way. I mean, they're only a half game up.
No, I do.
They're a half game up because they've played one more game.
Yeah.
They both have 27 losses. Rockets have 47 wins. Blazers have 46 wins. Mm-hmm. So they're only a half game up in that regard.
I think the Rockets have sealed the deal. They should wrap up the three. And here's the other thing. Oh, Nostradarius.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen your Oklahoma City
Thunder? You
wanted to
call me Nostradumbass, didn't you?
I close. Okay. I didn't want to go that rude.
Okay.
We're having a good day. Have you seen your Thunder? They've fallen all the way to the eighth spot. Now, there's no way they're falling out of the playoffs because Sacramento's not getting in.
Sacramento's not catching anybody.
But you just lost to Memphis by double digits when you know you need every win because 5, 6, 7, 8 are really tight.
Yeah. I want to say I'm not worried.
But you can't.
But, you know, all it's going to take is they win. Because all three teams have won ahead of them, and they're the one team that lost in that group. But that still only puts them a game out of the five spot. I mean, they're literally...
Right. It's all... Yeah.
It's all... They're one game out of the five spot, and they've got another game to play. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's all... They're all even. Everybody from 5 to 8 has played the same amount of games. So they're a legitimate one game out. But... I'm not worried about that as much, but I'm worried about them.
Here's the thing about them, too.
They're scared.
We just got done talking about Portland. Portland, if they're healthy, has that inside out. They got the deadly backcourt, and then they had Nurkic. If Oklahoma City, and if it's, you can put it on Billy Donovan or however you want to do it, but if you played your cards right, if you just had Steven Adams, who's really good and really physical, If you just gave him some touches periodically to establish the post and you could play inside out, you could be so much more potentially dangerous in the West. But instead, they're just running and gunning and missing and falling all the way to the eight spot.
I don't get it. You think that's where they end up?
I don't. I don't think they should, but I think there's a chance.
Well, here's the thing, though. Everybody talks about regular season and postseason and having something to play for and this and that. What did I tell you?
I said the Thunder would be the team. Oh.
I said either the Thunder or the Rockets would bounce the Warriors before they got to the Western Conference Finals. Now, how smart would I look if the Thunder fall to the A seed and end up
beat them
playing
in the first round? I don't remember all of that, but I do.
No, that's exactly what I said.
But I do because
you guys, because you were with me at first.
I thought about the exact same thing of the fact that they could fall to the eighth spot and give the Warriors all they could handle.
Well, you were
in the first
with me at first because you thought I said that they get bounced in the Western Conference Finals. You're like, yeah, I could see that if the Rockets play them. That's possible. And I said, no. Like, I'm going to own what I said. I said, no, they won't make it to the Western Conference Finals.
I know you
the
said.
Thunder or the Rockets will bounce them before that.
Okay.
So my dumb ass has said that, but now if the Thunder fall to the eight and then they still have another round if the Rockets fall to the four seed and they do get past the Thunder, I'm still alive. I don't think it's going to happen. But I'm still alive.
But you got
Yay!
The Lakers right. So you're
yeah,
good.
That's true.
You got the Lakers right. I'll back you there. Right, so we're just rolling through hour number one, 3 hour show. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number one, 3 hour extravaganza. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Having a whole lot of fun on a Tuesday. Getting ready for the Sweet 16 this weekend. That means Kelvin Sampson's going to join us at 2 o'clock. Talk a little Cougar hoops and Boom. The Cinderella story as it continues as the 3 seed matches up against Kentucky, the 2 seed coming up the later this week. So we'll get coaches' thoughts on that.
They got a legitimate chance of beating Kentucky.
I agree.
Especially with Kentucky missing he's questionable.
He's had a hard cast on his ankle. Was it Washington? Is that his last name?
Don't catch me lying.
But they're one of their best players is hurt. But the other thing is as I said yesterday, when you do the one-and-dones like Calipari does, the one thing where it's not a good thing for him and his program is they're not experienced. They haven't been in this kind of environment, this big stage. The arenas get bigger, they're more packed, and there's more pressure on them. The Cougs have been there, done that, and because they don't rely on one star player and they can just get out like you were talking about yesterday, they play defense, and they get up in your Cheerios and they make you uncomfortable. That's the kind of thing that could help them.
Yeah. All right, so before we went to break, we were talking about the Rockets and the Blazers, and I wanted to give you guys their schedule, the 9 games remaining,
okay,
or 8 games remaining as it may be, mm-hmm, and get your thoughts on this, because this actually is a favorable schedule, I think, for the Blazers. But your thoughts. Now, it's kind of tricky for the Blazers. They've got 6 games left at home, on the road, and only 3 home games left. So keep that in mind. But this is their 6 road games: Chicago, Atlanta, Detroit, Minnesota, Denver, and the Lakers. Outside of Denver, does any of that scare you?
That's the only other one where they might struggle is the Pistons.
Okay.
Simply because when you don't have Nurkic and you're going up a guy where Drummond could get 20 boards and Blake Griffin's going to be an inside presence, that could give them some problems. Otherwise, I don't see many problems.
But, I mean, you could realistically see them going 4-2 on that road trip.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay. Their 3 home games are Memphis, Denver, and Sacramento.
2 wins in a Denver.
Yeah.
Which okay. They could beat Denver, too.
It depends if Denver's without playing
Nurkic
for anything.
I like Nurkic, Jokic. That's a fun matchup to say.
Fellas, they used to be on the same team.
I know.
Yeah.
Put those two guys. You traded a Plumlee for the the combination twin towers of Jokic and Nurkic. Plus, as a PA announcer and any announcer doing radio or TV, you have a field day. Because, like, Craig got – he just got giddy every time he'd go, and the Rockets taking on the Denver Nuggets and Nurkic.
Yeah.
He just would sit on the ch- – but, yeah, those are fun names.
So, basically, what you're saying is 4-2 on the road and 2-1 at home.
I think so.
That's 6-3 over their last nine. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, let's play a fun little game with the Rockets.
All right.
Rockets have 8 games left. Mm-hmm. They have 4 at home and 4 on the road. Their 4 road games are – Milwaukee, Sacramento, the Clippers, and the Thunder.
Okay.
How do you see that going?
2-2.
Okay. I'm with you on that. Probably lose to Milwaukee. I could see them beating the Thunder, believe it or not.
They haven't fared well against OKC this year. They're 1-2.
I could see them losing the game like to the Clippers.
Or Sacramento, because Sacramento wants to make a statement, and they play fast.
But I'm with you. 2-2 on the road. Nicholas, you in agreement with us on that?
Yeah. 2-2. I think they'll lose to
Milwaukee and the Thunder.
Yeah. Okay. Or Milwaukee and Denver, either
no,
one.
No, that's a home game in Denver. We're just talking about road games.
Road games only, yeah. Okay.
Okay, so we're all in agreement, 2-2. Yes. Yep. There are home games left. Denver, Sacramento. I've just moved my page here. So Denver, Sacramento, the Knicks, and the Suns.
4-0.
They win all 4 of those games.
3-1 on that one.
All 4. 4-0 at home.
They're beating Denver.
They are.
At home.
Yep. When is that game?
That's 2 days after the Bucks game.
Wait, this week?
That's Thursday. That's Thursday.
Yeah.
Day after tomorrow.
See, if it was a little later. No, I'm going to stick with it. Thursday. They're going to go 4-0 at home. They've been playing well at home.
Nick?
I'm going to say 3-1. I think they're going to drop one of those four
games. I'm with you. I think that they could even slip up against Sacramento at home, beat them on the road, something like that.
Depending on the situation, who they rest, you never know.
The Knicks and the Suns, I'm not worried about that.
Nope.
But, yeah, it could be an issue with Sacramento.
The Suns. Did you see what Booker did last night?
Mm-mm.
He had 59 points, and they got blown out by 25.
It happens too much in this sport, man.
If I'm that dude, I'm not waiting for that rebuild. I want out.
As young as he is, too.
Yeah.
I'd still want out.
So 2-2 and 3-1, we'll have to compromise because two of us picked 3-1.
That's fine.
That's 5-3. And we've got the Blazers going 6-3. That's a tie.
What's the season series?
That's what we need to figure out next.
Yeah.
Because, if you put it, that's 30 losses for the Rockets. And that's 30 losses for the Blazers. That puts them at the same record at the end of the year.
I'll tell you this, and I said this to you guys before. The one factor that Portland has in their corner that's an X factor is their home court advantage. Having been through playoff series in that building, I used to work there, and then just the series where Lillard beat us with the shot at the buzzer, those kind of shots. Their home court advantage in the playoffs is real. It's one of the three probably best home courts in the league, and their fans, because it's the only game in town, go nuts. So if you can, you got to stay ahead of them in case of a matchup with them.
Okay. I'm going to look it up at the break, and then we're going to have Kelvin Sampson join us at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
But when we get through the Kelvin Sampson segment, then we can discuss the tie break and who has that as well, or we'll have that at some point.
Cool.
In the next hour.
There you go.
Hang tight.
So that's already hour number one, and boy, it flew by in a hurry. We've got two still to go, and as Barry mentioned, to lead off the second hour of the show, it's going to be Kelvin Sampson, the head coach of your Houston Cougars, as he gets ready for the Sweet 16. Plenty of questions for him as we get into everything this week and what one heck of a season that he's put together and the way he's turned the program around. So that's coming up next, and we'll roll all the way till 4 o'clock till we turn it over to the Blitz. So you don't need to go anywhere. Just stay tuned to your radio and have some fun with us. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.